This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Danny, for the first time in 9 games, for the first time in 11 weeks, Washington, a winner. The streak is over. They will not lose out. They are 4-10.
They did it.
I should turn my mic on. They did it, damn it. They got a win against the NFL's worst team. That's not hyperbolic. They're picking first as of right now. They didn't do their best. Well, maybe they did their best to try to give it away. It was gross. 4 fumbles. They got outgained. They did everything they could to not win it. And here they are with more points than somebody for the first time in months.
I tip my cap to the team because the coaches are putting in 80-hour weeks and the players are grinding. And it's important for them to win, right? So they did that. And culturally, somewhere in those holes, the morale has been boosted and things are better off than they were 24, 48 hours ago. But to your point, this was not pretty. You get outgained by 44. You average over the course of the day, a penalty every handful of plays. They had 4 penalties in the first 11 snaps of this game, and for the duration of the contest, had 11 penalties for about 70 yards. They lost the turnover battle. They went just 3-for-11 on third down. There were a lot of things they didn't do particularly well. They completed just 10 of their 19 passes through the air, but they did enough. Thanks largely to a punt return touchdown for Jalen Lane. Put him in Sharpie, building block, long-term answer. First time they've had 2 punt return touchdowns by a player in a season since 1994. Lane had another 20-plus yard return as well in a prolific game. And I liked what I saw from Bill. We talked about this all week. This was the worst run defense in the NFL. Dead last, 32nd, all season long, averaging about 5 yards per carry allowed. Bill goes for 5.3 a pop and a touchdown, 18 for 96. Unfortunate for Chris Rodriguez that he had to miss this game, but that gave Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, who will be on the show tomorrow at 5 o'clock, an opportunity to get back on the good foot, and he certainly did that.
Well, this time they did something about it because they've previously played terrible run defense teams and couldn't do anything just because of the state of the union where the offense was, right, with no deep threat, with no McLaurin, et cetera. When they played Dallas, when they played Chicago, those teams couldn't stop the run at all, and you would have known it from what Washington did. This time, they imposed their will. There were holes. I thought Bill was patient. He had a little Le'Veon Bell to his game, kind of sliding around, wait for his hole, then he would burst and was always kind of twisting and leaning and finding extra yards. Not necessarily through that pure Christian Okoye knock your ass back 10 yards, but kind of that corkscrew wiggle as he's going through contact to get himself an extra yard, 2 yards, 3 yards. That's what I care about, man. I thought he was really good.
The power and the speed that we saw in September and very early on in October was on display again. And there's clearly just a juice to him. There's this jolt and a electricity that the other guys don't have. Even Rodriguez, when he's going good, and he's been very productive, probably their most consistent, efficient runner this season, he doesn't have the gear that Krosky Merritt has. So it was really, really good to see him get going again yesterday. And you got a big play out of Terry McLaurin in the passing game as well. The 51-yard catch for Terry on a deep post, his second longest catch of the season, and a touchdown in a 69-yard performance, just 4 targets and 3 catches. Again, from a receiving standpoint, nobody had a big day or did all that much because they completed all of 10 passes. They only ran 58 offensive plays, which seems like more than you would anticipate, but they threw the ball 19 times. Because of scrambles and Mariota keeping it on some designed runs, the balance in the game was actually 37 runs to 19 passes, almost 2-to-1 run to pass, which is, you know, kind of what you should have done going in against the Giants. If they're not going to stop you, and they didn't, they ran for over 100 in the first half, about 150 net in the game, you might as well just keep doing it. And to Cliff Kingsbury's credit, that is what happened. Now, it should be noted that they tried to lose the game. They had a chance to put the game away on multiple drives in the fourth quarter, and they fumbled the football in the second half twice in a row while trying to salt the game away. So the Giants were able to get back into it with an 18-yard touchdown pass from Dart to Tracy on Bobby Wagner that capped an 82-yard drive. Then they had the 21-yard drive after a takeaway where Wandell Robinson caught a 16-yard pass from Jackson Dart. And they were in this thing. It was a one-possession game at the end. Probably shouldn't have been. Like, as you said,
yep,
the Giants, you rank 32 teams right now. They're 32nd, picking number one in the draft. And you couldn't really bury them on a day where they didn't play well, where they dropped a touchdown, where they were kicking when they should have gone for it or punting when they should have kept their offense on the field. I don't know a lot about Mike Kafka as a coaching candidate. I know he was a hot name as an offensive mind a couple years ago. I have seen enough, though. 2nd and 10 runs, using his special teams, acting like he's got a good kicker when Youngway Koo, who's been on 3 teams this year, is kicking 50-plus yarders. He coached like a guy that wasn't that interested in moving down in the draft
order. Yeah, he's like the, I got 2 manuals I can choose from. Try to get myself the full-time gig or the Bill Callahan let's get out of here manual, and he chose the latter. So I guess whatever you want to do. So I think we're going to be at odds over this, and I know a lot of fans are going to be ticked off at me. Like, all I saw yesterday was from the producers who brought you 3-10, the same veterans doing the same stuff. That's what it was. That's what it was yesterday. It was the same pathology, the same problems, the same issues. They finally found someone else bad enough where it worked. And the rhetoric, you know, I hope nobody strains anything, patting themselves on the back. I hope you found your north or you made your mark or whatever the cliches were about it. But listen, individually, on a human level, of course I'm glad that something went well for guys that I think ostensibly are good people, and they haven't quit, and that's awesome. But the big picture, it's just sort of hard for me to get excited about yesterday. In fact, I found myself irritated. So if someone will come back and say, well, what did you want him to do, lose? I could deal with a loss if they threw the ball 5 times to Ben Sinnott, or, you know, put Jalen Lane as part of the offense instead of the 4th target on 1 play going deep, a YOLO ball from Marcus Mariota. If Jordan McGee played more than 20% of the snaps, or Johnny Newton didn't get outsnapped by Preston Smith, or any of the other things. If they had, some of these young guys that are going to be part of this thing, had some more impact, yesterday would have been a lot more exciting to me.
You want Newton to play edge then?
I wanted to play more than a guy that's a cast-off veteran that they got to fill in
understood,
some holes
and
problems.
They play 2 different positions.
No, so I understand.
You want Newton to play
it's
end?
A point of comparison. No, yeah. I want him to play more.
Right.
Which I don't think is unreasonable.
They have Kinlaw and Payne, so they would just sit one of those two guys, I guess, to play Newton more.
You can refute the specific. Maybe let's get to 40%. Let the second round pick play a little bit more. That's not a crazy ask.
Yeah, I'd like him to play more too. I guess we agree on that. They didn't do a ton of damage, luckily, from a draft standpoint, because the Bengals got waxed as well, or else, you know, maybe things would have looked a little bit different. But they went from the 6th pick to the 8th pick in the NFL draft, which is the wrong direction come draft time, obviously. They have the same record as New Orleans, so they could still get back up to the 7th spot pretty easily. And they're one back of the Cardinals, the Jets, and the Browns. So they're still within reach of picking as high as 4 if they lose their final 3 games as underdogs to Dallas, who, by the way, their season's over. What a bad loss for them against the Vikings.
Brutal.
Last night. And they play the Eagles twice, and if they win either of those 2 games, it'll be very surprising. So assuming they lose their final 3 and they go 4-13, which is incredible after going 12-5. What a nightmare of a campaign this has been. They're probably going to pick somewhere in the 5-7 range, I would think. And it could be in that 5-6 spot. So did they cost themselves a pick or 2 overall, possibly, in terms of draft order? But in a year in which quarterbacks aren't going to be coming off the board in mass in the first round, and they're probably going to be gone by the time Washington picks, whether they won or lost yesterday, I don't have the same frustration with an empty calorie December win as I normally would. It's always better to pick higher. There's no doubt about that. But if you're hunting for a quarterback in the draft, a la the year they took Daniels, I care a lot more about the tank, so to speak. Or if there's going to be enough QBs going that there's still one on the board that teams might trade up for, when you're on the clock, I care a lot more about the tank. You just don't see as many trade-ups for non-quarterbacks. It's still pretty rare. So I guess six or eight in a draft where there's two QBs that might go early, to me, there's not that big of a difference in terms of what they might be able to get their hands on, or maybe more importantly, the trade down. But I certainly get the point. And I think everyone that watched that game is going to hopefully have the same takeaway as you, which is they didn't fix all their problems. They're not going to, though.
No.
I mean, what I would say to that is in one game against the Giants, it's a lose-lose in a lot of ways in your eyes. Like, if they come out and they beat the Giants 42-3, or if they play the game that they did and barely beat the Giants, short of, you know, targeting Ben Sinnott six times out of 19 passes, which is not realistic, or, you know, just ramping up the playing time for everyone in a way that probably was not going to happen this week, this was going to be a game that a lot of people came away from and feel the same way about them as they did. Like, they've already done the damage.
Yeah.
The hay is in the barn.
Deposits are already in the bank.
There is no way to fix this at this point. But, you know, watching that game, here's what I cared about. I wanted Bill to look like Bill again. Check. I wanted to see some young players flash. I didn't see enough of that, but Jalen Lane, to me, as a punt returner, was excellent. His punt return touchdown as a rookie, that is a really, really big deal. And then, you know, the Sinnott thing was a frustration we can get into. Newton needs to play more clearly. But I think the jury's kind of returning a verdict on these guys, too. Like, with each of these games that happened, like yesterday, Danny, we're waiting on fetch to happen with Johnny Newton. It's probably not happening.
Great chance it does.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just not walking through that door. We're waiting for 95, and he might not show up to take us home from school.
Entirely possible. So whether, you know, we could talk about him specifically, or, and again, it's not as if they have 15 young guys. It's not the way NFL rosters are,
so
or theirs.
Sinnott, Newton, and what else?
Jordan
are we
McGee only playing 20% of snaps. I find unforgivable in a game like yesterday. On defense, he played special teams too, but I can't do that. I don't know what else to say. You owe something to the vets if it's, you know, if you're 9-4 going into that game or whatever the math would be, where you're fighting for a playoff spot. And I'm not talking about the quality of win, if that's the case. This is empty. This is meaningless. Only to validate a bad process is what yesterday did, right? The everything, every decision that got made, every roster build, every play call, every timeout usage, every substitution, everything that they've built for 1 week out of the last nine, it finally worked right. Good enough, I guess, to beat a terrible team that did everything they could to lose as well. I can't get down with that. It's not exciting when if they'd messed around and won. I talk about this with the Wizards all the time. It's okay if Keyshawn George goes nuts, Bilal Coulibaly has a great game, and Alex Saar goes for 25, 10, and 3 and blocks 5 shots, and Bob Carrington has a great game. If you mess around and beat somebody, that's part of it. That's going to happen. Not as much fun for me when CJ McCollum plays 42 minutes and goes for 50. To win a game, that doesn't matter. That's empty calories. That's what that is when Bobby Wagner plays 100% of the snaps. When you've got an heir apparent that could probably use some more of those reps. The same way we talk about with Jaden Daniels, I got Jordan McGee. Not as glamorous, not as flashy, not as fun. I would love for that guy to go through a little bit more, and this was a great opportunity for it, and they chose not to.
I think 95% of the fan base agrees with you. Like, I don't know that there is an opposition to that, to be honest with you. I think you're saying French toast tastes good. Agreed. We're just not in a world where they serve French toast. Like, basketball and football are different. The NBA, where the tank happens and teams really do actively try to be terrible, see the Indiana Pacers this year by front offices legitimately tanking on purpose in a sport where, by the way, you lose your draft pick. There's such a thing as protected and unprotected picks. It's just a different sports culture. The whole sport is different. If the Wizards win X number of games, they don't get to keep their draft pick. That's not a thing in the NFL, right? So you're just not going to get the same thing in this kind of modern day matchup of Goliaths that are taking place in this like NFL stadium that serves as our Roman Coliseums, where you're just going to tell Bobby Wagner, go sit down now so Jordan McGee can play all the reps. I would hope that that's coming in the final week or two of the season. That's my, I would love to see it. I don't know that we will. It's just, it's not a Washington thing. It's just not an NFL thing very often. And will they be better off? I mean, it's funny. The same people that talk about there's no such thing as carryover, there's no such thing as momentum, you know, want to see all these guys play as if it's going to make a difference, which I tend to think it will, but the people that want to see them are the ones mostly that are saying that momentum doesn't exist. I want to evaluate the guys as much as anybody. Sinnott, by the way, one target, one catch. And his target at the end of the game.
Nice play.
His catch at the end of the game, 36 yards. Like, I don't even know how leaving that game to feel. Do I feel better or worse about Ben Sinnott? He played an entire game without Zach Ertz. He didn't get one legitimate target until the final throw of the game. He makes a really nice catch after making a nice move on a route. Makes a 36-yard catch and run. So the time he got a chance again, he did something with it. Like, every time he gets an opportunity, it seems like he does respond. But the lack of opportunities has to be telling, no?
Yes.
Yesterday was also complicated because, again, they threw it 19 times. Because the majority of the time that they called passing plays, they would either get checked at the line or a lot of those turns into scrambles. You know, we see that with Jaden. We saw it yesterday with Mariota with this defensive front.
Probably, what, 6 times, I would say. Maybe even more.
I would imagine more. Yeah, he ran it 10 times. I don't know that there was 4 design runs, so it's probably right around 7, possibly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in that vicinity. So when you have 19 pass plays, like I looked it up today, Sinnott actually ran a route 11 times in the game. Or I think it was 10, actually. It was 11 pass plays that he was on the field for. He ran 10 routes. So there is no path to like a 50% target share doesn't really exist. But I guess my annoyance with Sinnott, Danny, there's 0 tight end screens called for him. There's not a single play where they go, this is the Ben Sinnott play we worked on Wednesday, to find something, to figure out like what he is, a la preseason.
Yeah, 100%.
You just want a quick out where it's 3rd and 2, and he either wins or you're punting. We didn't get one of those. That was annoying to me.
Yeah. And again, I understand that there's a certain number of plays, and you know, I'm making up an arbitrary target number, but if it felt like something was for Jalen Lane or Ben Sinnott, I would have been much happier, right? Like, whether successful or not, it just sort of feels like, nope, we're just doing our stuff. We're doing our thing today.
So who are you taking off the field for Lane?
I don't know.
They played Traylon Burks, who you want to see more of. I mean, they played Terry, who hasn't gotten enough time on the grass. I guess you could play him less now.
Yeah, I mean,
are you willing to do that?
Maybe you take off John Bates and you have a different formation, or I don't know. I
mean, but now less tight ends means less Ben Sinnott.
Well, it doesn't have to. You could start the second round pick and have him be the one tight end in a set sometimes.
That's possible.
My point is,
yeah.
It's the idea that we can't possibly have a second round pick and a 4th round pick from last year on the field for a couple more plays with a couple of targets. That's not an insurmountable challenge.
But if they did that, you're just happy today?
Happier.
Okay.
Happier. Like, because there's a point to it. There's no point to what they did. To me, this is an empty, futile, weird, self-congratulatory backpatting session where everybody's like, okay, thank God we got to win. Don't look over here. Like, it's the same 3 and 10 guys.
Who are these people that are doing that?
Russell, EB, Homer's team employees, everybody's congratulating themselves. They needed a win, man. They needed a win. Who did? The guys that need to be replaced? Needed a win? That's the rhetoric. All the homers, everybody that's mad at me on the internets and mad at me right now. I'm telling you, that's what everybody's saying. So to me, it was so empty because the young guys weren't featured at all. I'm not saying if you drop back 10 times, you throw the ball to Jalen Lane 10 times, like it's mad and you're trying to get some stats for the guy.
Right.
Something. Just a little bit. I go back to the game a couple weeks ago when there were 16 tight end targets and Sinnott didn't get any of them. You know, you're going, come on, man. 2. Give me 2. Give me one on like the second drive of the game where no one's expecting it, but you can throw a little pop pass to John Bates. I don't know. It's really, really tough for me to get on board with the same. This is the same game plan, same game, same team, same everything for the last 9 weeks. It's the same pathology that said we're not making any trades. The same pathology that said we're not going to do anything until it's way too late to move seats for Joe Witt. It's just banging your head against the wall to try to prove some macho point that I guess you proved. Congrats.
Here's how I'm just trying to explain how I'm feeling. And I like it feels to me like you're arguing with a ghost, but we had different days, it sounds like. Like, you're talking about Eric and I don't remember who else you said, Russell. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't heard what anybody, I guess, said, so then maybe that's my fault. But to me, what you're saying is how everyone feels. Like, I'm missing the other side where there's some big victory lap taken. I don't think, you think Adam Peters is suddenly walking around the building saying, I told you so, NFC Championship game 2026. I think his to-do list is the exact same as it was before that game. Hopefully Dan Quinn knows that his team failed miserably this year in every single way. I don't think yesterday changed any of that.
Oh, I know it didn't, but that's not what the rhetoric is. And I guess I'll see if I can find some audio for you or I'll show you a couple tweets.
Yeah.
So if you don't hear it, that's the good for you.
You can save the tweets. I don't care about those.
Just say good for you for being insulated from it, but it is everywhere. The and like, you know, the team content, the team employees.
But what is the team? This is what I don't get. The team's supposed to be like not post anything.
I don't know exactly what they're supposed to do. I know
they're in a lose situation.
They certainly are.
I'd like to put a period at the end of the sentence that I'm on the same wavelength as you. It sounds like you did a couple of weeks ago say you didn't want to see Jalen Lane one more time at receiver all year. Now you're mad that he's not getting more targets. Now I understand the difference is now their season is over or whatever. Like, they can't win. No matter, I don't mean literally they can't win.
That is true.
That's true.
Both are true.
Unless they play the Giants or the Raiders. But figuratively, no matter what they do, they can't win with you either.
Yeah, when you're this bad and you keep doing the same things, exactly. Yes, I'll be furious.
But if they win and they come in here, you're mad. If they lose, you're mad. But also, to your point, a lot of it is who they're playing and how they're doing it. But there's only so much more they can do in terms of turning up those faders. I guess if they just sit Bobby Wagner completely and play Jordan McGee, and Ben Sinnott gets like 7 targets, and Jalen Lane plays, and they don't play Debo or Terry, happy Danny?
No, I mean you're being hyperbolic. My point is, how about a series where Bobby Wagner sits and Jordan McGee's got the green dot,
steamed up?
That's out of our reach when we're 3-10 playing the team that's picking first. The idea that I'm asking for some weird pie in the sky thing, when I'm sort of being, you know, semi-facetious, tongue in cheek, you got to play the young kids. Well, yeah, I understand it's not how the culture works. Mix it in. Mix in one bubble screen to Jalen Lane. One yesterday, and it's better, right? I know I was annoyed at him when it was a competitive part of the season and he's not getting open, he's dropping passes, and I'm irritated about that. But it's more irritating to me when you get what to me was predictable, which is you eke out a win despite playing terribly against a garbage team and you go, that's who we are. We're dog-ass competitors again. We found our North Star. We made the mark. Did you?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills. But you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.